Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yes, it is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We have a great hour ahead. We got 6 minutes. That's the ever wildly popular segment of the Odd Couple. That's coming up in about 19 minutes.
That I never did in Detroit.
Yes, I'm honored, Rob. Is that our first segment you never did in Detroit?
There's plenty that I haven't done.
Virgin segment, is that what it is?
Talking about first time.
Shop talk. Did you do shop talk in Detroit?
No, we did not do it on the radio. Did not.
But you did that somewhere.
We did. Okay. We did a TV show called Shop Talk.
Yeah. Where?
A TV show
in Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I figured something. It was something like that.
But it wasn't on the radio.
All right. We got our man, Gary Washburn, Boston Globe, national NBA writer. Great guy. Great writer. He just wrote a book with Mark Spears.
Yes.
You guys are familiar with the NBA reporter Mark Spears over at ESPN. Another good friend of ours. They wrote a book. I don't know if you saw it, Rob, about Spencer Haywood.
No, I got the book. Yeah. I got it.
So we'll talk with them about that. Good hour ahead. You can also follow Rob and myself on social media. Rob's at RobParkerFS1 on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Chris_Broussard on Twitter, ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. All right, Rob, baseball. I read your column today about Carmelo Anthony, and I come across another column over at Deadspin.com by your colleague Jesse Spector. He kind of ripped baseball. It's called Cardinals Player Test Positive for COVID-19 as MLB remains socially distanced from reality. And what he's saying is now, Rob, obviously some more games with the Cardinals are postponed, and they're going to have 49 days to play 55 games. And he also pointed out that 16, as it looks right now, 16 of their 60 games will be doubleheaders, which means 27% of their games will be 7 innings. And he's just saying it's just a bad look, and, you know, it's not good for the game. And, you know, what are your thoughts on this whole situation?
Couldn't disagree with him more. This is where you are when there's a pandemic. You're trying to get a season in. You're trying to play. And let's just be fair. The Marlins and the Cardinals have had outbreaks. The game has been played. It's not playing baseball is giving you COVID. If that was the case, they've been playing games. Nobody else is testing positive. A couple of teams have had outbreaks. I knew there would be some, Chris, but it ain't like if you told me that 8 of the games tonight were canceled, then I'm with you. Okay, this isn't going to work. It ain't going to happen.
They had a night where, was it 6 teams or 6 games last week? 6 teams, I believe. So 3 games were canceled.
Yeah, 3 games. That's what I'm saying.
But six teams.
But there's 15 games going on a night. You know what I mean? So most of the other players have been able to stay healthy and clean and continue to play. I think it was important for baseball to get a season in. Sure, the obvious thing was to just, you want to be 100% safe, Chris? Pull the plug, nobody plays, everybody go home. But I don't think baseball was trying to do that and be dark for 18 months. It would have been a blow to the sport. So you have to, you know, you have to work through this. You have to deal with it. Of all the sports being played, baseball is the best when it comes to socially distancing players because of the nature of the game. You're not really on top of each other. So
I don't think anybody's saying that you're getting COVID from playing baseball. I mean, that's obviously not happening. You're right about that. But look, it's, you know, my feelings, Rob. I think baseball, they made the major mistake at the beginning of not going into bubbles. Not a bubble, but bubbles. And I'm not blaming the baseball players any more than any of the other athletes. Or to be honest, any other Americans. But I think what a bubble does is protect you from yourself. We're all stir crazy. And some of us, for whatever reason, we stay in our house. We stay away from people. We socially distance, whatever. But many of us, and mainly younger ones, they're getting out there and they're doing their normal thing to some degree. And I think athletes of all the sports are the same. But basketball has been, they've been protected from themselves. We saw when Lou went out, Lou Williams, he went out. But most of the players are in that bubble, and therefore they can't go out like they normally would. And football, they haven't started yet. So that's a whole different story. But that's what's happened in baseball. And I think from that ultimate mistake at the beginning, now that's where all these other things are coming into play.
Yeah, I just don't. It just hasn't interrupted the baseball season enough for me.
It's interrupted it a lot, though.
No.
I mean,
a couple of teams have had outbreaks,
but if several teams have been affected, it's not just a couple of teams affected.
No, but it's still just two teams basically that you probably couldn't avoid because there was something there. Florida, the Marlins were in the middle of the pandemic and what was going on. It was spiking all over Miami.
They got it in
Philly. Because none of the Philly players got it.
Atlanta.
None of them got it. None of the Atlanta players got it.
But that's what they did the tracing and they didn't get it in Florida.
But they didn't. Well, how did they? Nobody in Philly tested positive. They had a coach and a clubhouse attendant, and they both were false positive. So none of the Philly players got it.
I don't think anybody's saying this is about the players or the game.
My point is that when you play in a situation like this, this is going to be par for the course. And so far, they're going to get through this. Like I said, if you told me 5 or 6 teams had it and there were 10 or 12 guys on every team, then you got to pull the plug on the whole thing. I think they will work this out. They'll make sure the players do a better job at protecting themselves. And so far, given that there is no bubble and the other 28, 27 teams haven't experienced that, I'm cool with it. I get it.
Yeah, my point is that at what point do things become so abnormal that it's just not like a legitimate season? I think that's
we were already there from the beginning. It was a bastardized.
Not necessarily.
It was a bastardized season. 60 games in 67 days, trying to make sure you can get everything in. You already knew going in that it was going to be tough because you couldn't have too many bad weather days. You couldn't have too many outbreaks because the window is so tight. 60 games in 67 days, that's just not normal in baseball because there's a lot of things. And then when you add the pandemic to it. So I think most people signed up for it. I'm enjoying watching baseball every night. Glad their game's on. I'm just going to accept it when they postpone a game for safety. I understand it. I hope that they do it. I'd rather they do that than to go on and keep playing, even though they're putting people's lives in jeopardy or health in jeopardy. So I understand, and you know what? It won't be based on everybody playing 60 games. It'll be based on winning percentage, and there'll be some teams that might play 8 or 6 games less than other teams, Chris, and that's just the way it's going to be in 2020. We'll all look back. We'll all remember what it was about, how baseball tried to squeeze the season in, and it won't be pretty, but there'll be a World Series champion. The players and owners will get their World Playoff and World Series money, and fans will have something to watch for the next couple of months. That's really what it comes down to.
No, that's accurate. I just think it's so many different things going on. And hopefully they can get through it. I'm enjoying it, too. I got the Yankees Devil Rays on right now.
Is this still scoreless?
Yeah. Scoreless in the sixth.
Wow.
But I just hope that baseball can avoid a few more of these situations. And here's the thing I'm wondering, though, Rob. Because, like you said, the two teams, the Cardinals and the Marlins, have had these outbreaks. They got taxi squads. They gave you up to 60 players that you had access to. Why didn't they just bring on some more of those players and let them continue playing the teams? That's what I don't understand. Because that was the whole reason. You upped the squads to 30 players, but gave them access to 60 players. And so for situations like this.
Yeah.
And yet they didn't do that. I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that I think they just wanted to keep everybody safe, because basically you would have to play an entire is it fair to the Phillies that have a good team and Bryce Harper and these guys to play six games with quote-unquote Chris scrubs?
Yeah, it
is. No, I'm just saying.
I think it is because somebody got injured.
Yeah, but the whole team, and then you go, well, you remember that six-game losing streak that sunk us? So they would rather play with their players. And at some point, Chris, as you get closer to September, you might not have a choice because you're running out of days. But I could see early on where they could say, we'll delay or postpone some games, and then you can make them up in doubleheaders. Come mid-September, there is no – we can't let you sit a week – thinking that you're going to make it up, because there's no room for that. So I think at that point, you will have no choice.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. So hopefully the team outbreaks are behind us. And look, we saw it in the MLS. They had the whole team came down with it, and they kept going, and it's been fine. And so hopefully that'll be the case
right.
with
That's
with
a great
baseball.
Example.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
they continued, and there was only one team. Am I right, Chris? Was it
one
in
team.
The MLS?
They had
an outbreak, and then that was it.
I think baseball did the right thing by continuing to play through it. I really do, because it was too early to give up. Now, if a few other teams, it would have happened.
I agree.
Then
if it was four or five teams,
you had to push through. Yeah,
right.
I just, like I said, to me, it's like, you know, you tell a lie. You lie to your wife about something. And then it forces
you
to tell another lie. No.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? It forces you to tell another lie, then another lie, then another lie. And I just think it's unfortunate.
And then eventually you wind up getting divorced.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But I think that's the unfortunate situation with the bubbles. But look, I do think Manfred did the right thing by pushing through. And hopefully they get through this season. All right, 6 minutes is next. That's right. Rob and I go at it about who is the best player in the N, the F, to the L. Is it Lamar Jackson? 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. It's your turn to call in. You can call in and judge who, you know, argues the point best. Who do you agree with based on their argument? And you guys will judge the winner in the segment that is taking American radio and even international radio by storm. 6 minutes is next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone is America's number one battery destination. No matter what battery problems you're dealing with, you can find your battery solution at AutoZone. Next time you're having starting trouble, start at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Folks, it is time for 6 minutes money.
Yes, sir, it is 6 minutes, the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio, the segment that's sweeping the nation, where Chris and Rob are going head-to-head, and we let the callers be the judge to decide who had the better points in the debate. Now, once again, Chris Broussard is the defending champion. Last time we played, he won. So he's going to get the first crack at it this time. And this week's topic came to us earlier this week. Is Lamar Jackson the best player in football right now? Rob says yes. Chris says no. Chris, you got the first 2 minutes. Make it count.
Lamar's a tremendous player and deserved to be last year's MVP. But winning the MVP award does not mean you're the best player in the sport. In the NBA, Steve Nash won 2 MVPs, but was never the best player in the game. Likewise, in the NFL, Matt Ryan and Rich Gannon won MVPs, and neither of them was ever the best player in the league. No, the best player in football, or even basketball, must have a combination of individual greatness, most notably seen through your great stats, and W's, wins. Otherwise, Wilt Chamberlain would be considered the GOAT of the NBA, or Dan Marino would be considered the GOAT quarterback. But nobody argues that because they don't have the wins. Rob, you know this as well as anyone. I'm shocked and a bit let down that you're discarding your tried and true formula, the mantra that you've stood by as long as I've known you. There's a short menu in sports, wins and losses, for you to argue that someone that's never won a Super Bowl, never even won a playoff game.
Playoffs?
That you to argue somebody has never won a playoff game is the best player in sports is just sad. It's ridiculous. Even hypocritical. Come on, Rob Parker. You're better than that. But like I said, it's about eye-popping individual production plus wins. And the guy that's got that more than anybody is Pat Mahomes. The Super Bowls, the most touchdowns of any quarterback in his first 2 years. More TDs he threw in his rookie year than Lamar's thrown in 22 career starts. More TDs in his rookie year. More yards as a rookie than Aaron Rodgers has put up in any of his seasons. Pat Mahomes has the individual production and the wins, the Super Bowl title, to be the best player in the NFL.
Lamar Jackson, without question, is the best player in the NFL. Not only was he a unanimous MVP, which Chris failed to use that word, unanimous, only 2 players in the history of the NFL has ever won that award. And Patrick Mahomes wasn't one of them. And the other thing is, when you talk about it, is the players, his own peers who played against him, that speaks volumes. The media voted him unanimous, which is almost unbelievable because you can't get media members to agree on anything. And then the players. And the players didn't even, it wasn't like it's between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes was 4th. He wasn't even 2nd. They didn't even think he was the 2nd best player or that Lamar Jackson had just nudged him out. He had a historic season throwing the football for touchdowns. His team won 12 straight games. His team blew out 5 teams by 21 or more. He beat playoff teams up and down. Look at what he's accomplished. That's why his peers and teammates and other people around the league have looked at him. And here's the other part about Mahomes. Last year, in 7 of the 14 games he played, he threw 1 touchdown or less. He wasn't magical. You're living off of the rookie year with 50 touchdowns. He dropped to 26 touchdowns. He was solved last year, and it had nothing to do with the injury. He didn't lead in any major quarterback statistical category. Not one. How could he be the best player in the league? He didn't lead in any of them. Lamar Jackson is the best player.
The hypocrisy is unbearable. Now unanimous matters. It doesn't. You didn't say that when Steph Curry was the first unanimous MVP of the NBA. Oh, the player vote matters? You didn't say that when 150 NBA players didn't vote LeBron James to the All-Star team? Stop it, Rob. Lamar, everything you said was regular season. What about winning in the playoffs when it counts? Lamar's not only 0-2, but his production drops dramatically in everything. Completion percentage from 64% in regular season, 51% in the playoffs. 42 touchdowns in 22 regular season starts, but only 3 touchdowns in 2 playoff starts. 105 quarterback rating in regular season, 68 in the playoffs. Only 6 interceptions in 15 games last year, but 2 interceptions in 1 playoff game. He fumbles it 2 times a game in the playoffs. Stop it, Rob. He's Stat Padford in the playoffs. Mahomes led 3 double-digit comebacks in the playoffs. This is ridiculous. Not even close.
The reason that Mahomes had to come back was he was awful, just like he was in the Super Bowl, for 3 quarters. And he got helped out with a choke job by the 49ers in the 4th quarter for bad coaching once again. Lamar Jackson is the best player. Yes, he hasn't had the playoff success yet, but look at what he brings to the table. It's unlike anything we've ever seen. This is not a lifetime achievement award for Patrick Mahomes because he had a great first year as a starter. Stop. The 50 touchdowns are old news. Last year, he won a game in Detroit with no touchdowns against the Lions. People have seen that. He's not the – he can't even score a touchdown against the Lions, and he's the best quarterback in the league, the best player. Patrick Mahomes is the 4th best player, and Lamar Jackson is the number 1 player. Ask the players. Ask the media.
Number 1.
That was some intense debate right there. I just want to know why Matt Stafford and the Lions got dissed by both of you guys in the same segment. They didn't see you.
Because they have won 1 playoff game since 1957.
That's messed up, man.
That's 1 more than Lamar Jackson.
All right, well, let's get to the judges. There can only be 1 winner. We're letting the callers decide. Judge number 1, Leo in New York City. Who do you think won the debate and why?
Okay, I'm siding with Chris Broussard here. When Rob Parker is talking about the player voting Lamar Jackson as the best player, they entered the ballot last year by Thanksgiving. By that time, no one knew that, okay, Patrick Mahomes was going to win the Super Bowl. So right here, there's no debate. It's Mahomes. And they both faced each other last season. Who won? Who lost? Thank you, guys.
All right. We got one for Chris. We'll move on now. James in South Carolina, judge number 2. Who do you think won that debate?
Man, hands down, Chris. Give Rob a standing 8 count and sit him in the corner. Chris done him up. Rob, you got to beat down to the 3rd power. Chris was by far. Mahomes was much. Just that's Mahomes is it, man. Nothing against the kid, but Mahomes is it, man.
All right, we're 1 vote away from a clean sweep. We move on now. Big Papa Doctor from California, who do you think won that debate and why?
Oh, man, come on. That was Chris Broussard. Wins and losses, quotes by Rob Parker, determined by wins and losses. Super Bowl win, 3 times in the playoffs, come back. Come on, man. It's a whitewash.
Thank you, brother. Money. I love this music. Me and Ali, baby. I feel like dropping a hot 16.
Money.
Yeah, the iCup will be back with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it is easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. He's the national NBA writer from Boston Globe. Goes back, way back with both me and Rob. It's our great friend, Gary Washburn. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We are good, man. Now, are you in the bubble?
I'm in the bubble.
You are in the bubble. So what's it like down there in the bubble, man? I get the feeling, Gary, and maybe I'm just basing us off what LeBron said the other day about, you know, I've never been the number 1 seed in the bubble. There's a lot going on. It's off the court that I'm not going to talk about. I feel like players, some of them might be getting a little, it's getting tough being in the bubble. Is that an accurate reading, and what is it like down there?
Yeah, I could say that. I would say that, I mean, it's very restrictive. I mean, you know, I was jogging today, and there's basically a circle that's around the complex that everybody can, like, run or walk around, and that's it. If you leave these walk past these certain cones, you're done. You have to be quarantined again, right? Wow. So it's like y'all saw the movie Life, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
It's like the gun line.
Right.
So, you can't walk past it. For us reporters, there's certain places we can't go because they don't want us interacting or the players don't want us around in their casual time, right? When they're at the arena, no problem. So we can't walk around and go to the same restaurants or anything like that. So there's a lot of kind of little restricted things. The food is interesting. You know, they give us packaged food. So it's sort of like you're in high school again. And with the players, they can't have guests, not till after the first round of the playoffs. Right. So there's only so much you could do when you have video game systems and you see the bunch of the players. So I'm sure many of them are getting a little antsy, no nightlife. You know, you're just hanging out in the lobby with the other players or going to the pool or FaceTiming with your friends or your girlfriend, your wife. So, yeah, it can be restrictive. So I can see after a month now, because it's been about a month these guys have been down here, that some of these guys are getting a little impatient.
Yeah, I can see that.
Let's talk about your book. And Spencer Hayward, somebody who I know from my time in Detroit, and, I mean, when he sued the NBA for early entrance, I mean, Spencer Hayward reminded me of the same thing when Kurt Flood took baseball. I mean, he had a huge impact in changing and being willing to, you know, do what he had to do to try to force change. Just talk about his thinking at that time when he did it.
Totally. Spencer, I think that people don't understand the climate of professional basketball in the late 60s and early 70s. You had a group of owners who, one, did not want young, primarily obviously African-American players to leave college early to enter the league because the league was still primarily white. So you had that kind of power structure against Spencer. You also had other players in the league who didn't want these young 19 or 20-year-olds to come in and take their jobs. So there were a lot of powers against Spencer. I think people kind of laugh now to when they hear that he had to go to Supreme Court to fight to get into the league early, where now guys can come out after 1 year and for, you know, as you guys know, a lot of years, you could come straight out of high school.
Right.
That was not the case. I mean, he literally, at times during his season with the Seattle Sonics, his first season, was pulled off the court because the NBA filed injunctions to keep him from playing. And this was not the David Stern, Adam Silver NBA. This was a very, you know, prejudiced NBA that wanted to keep it the way it was. And they were very intimidated, daunted by the prospect of Spencer Hayward, George Gervin, guys coming out at 19 and 20 years old, even though they were physically ready to play in the league. They didn't want them there. That's why the ABA was able to flourish, and they signed Spencer for a year. Then he, you know, his contract was kind of janky. I mean, it was not exactly, you know, solid in the ABA. So the Seattle Supersonics only decided to take a chance on him, and then he had to fight. And he went all the way to the Supreme Court. People don't really realize that Thurgood Marshall voted for him. I mean, so he got to meet Thurgood Marshall. I thought that was also fascinating. I mean, so it's a history lesson. And I think Spencer has always felt kind of disrespected and overlooked.
Right.
A lot like Rob, you mentioned with Kurt Flood, where, you know, it aged him. Kurt Flood died young because, I mean, the battle that he fought, it cost him his career. And I think Spencer sort of felt disrespected by the young guys who had no clue who he was. And I think over the last few years, there's been guys who have said, hey, that's the man. Kevin Durant has said that to him. Kevin Garnett has acknowledged him and said, that's the dude who started it all. He's the reason why we were able to come straight out of high school or be a one and done.
Gary, what type of toll did that battle take on Spencer? Because, you know, Kurt Flood, you mentioned it really took a toll on him. And
Flood,
I know it took
died,
a toll
at 56.
On
56.
Yeah, it took a toll on Spencer. We all know Spencer. It took a toll on him, too. Do you guys get into that in the book?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he just felt like the league, the league was against him, and he felt like that all the way through his career, guys. I mean, you're talking about into the mid-'80s when he felt like the league kind of kicked him out and he wanted to continue to play and nobody would sign him. He felt like the league held a grudge against him, not only for going beating early and fighting the league, but also his drug issues in L.A. with the Magic's first title team in 1980, that issue. And he felt like he was tabbed like the face of the NBA drug issue in the early 80s, as we all know. Right. The NBA had a serious drug problem in the late 70s and early 80s. It was not only Spencer. Spencer felt like he was kind of given that tag because the NBA was trying to pay him back for fighting the system. So there was a lot of gripes there. There's a lot of owners that were against him, you know, veteran players. He said Will Chamberlain told him and said, man, you're dumb for doing this. I would have never done it. He said, don't you think I could have gone to the league right out of Kansas? He said, I just went to the Globetrotters. You know, he weighed his time. So if you're literally Spencer Haywood, I mean, he felt like the world was against him.
Gary, I love that you guys do in the book talk about, rock bottom, talk about getting sober and what he went through, that it's not just a book about just him, you know, making a power move that changed the game, but his life. And it was bad. It was really bad for him. And he's very fortunate to be alive and to be able to bounce back, isn't he?
Yeah, Rob. I mean, he fought addiction for a while, and he was able to open up some centers and able to help people in Detroit. And he also talked about a radio show he had in Detroit that he helped other addicts who were calling because he was recovering, and he helped other addicts. And it's kind of a therapy, a life coach for people. So he completely turned everything around. And I think that eventually the NBA began to embrace him, and he began to kind of erase the bitterness from those early years where he was being invited on NBA, you know, cares trips and NBA scouting, NBA, you know, clinics and things where he was called a legend. And then, you know, he got his number retired at the University of Detroit, his number retired for the Seattle Supersonics, and finally 5 years ago inducted to the Naismith Hall of Fame. So over the last decade, he has gotten the credit he's deserved, and I think he's softened some, because you're right, Rob, it was hard. I mean, he went through some hard times. He felt like the league kind of kicked him out. They made him go to Italy after a stint with the Lakers. He enjoyed it there, but he basically was banished from the NBA for that drug use.
Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe joining the iCouple. Gary, tell us how good, because you look at his numbers. I mean, his first year in the ABA averages 30 points and 19 and a half boards, you know, and several years in the NBA put up huge numbers as well. I'm sure you talked to a lot of people as you did the book and stuff. A lot of people don't know, but tell us how good this guy really was.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, it might be one of your Facebook posts that you make about.
I know. I need to do it. I just thought about that.
telling these young kids.
Right.
I mean, Spencer was kind of, I mean, he was a 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", power forward with athleticism. He could rebound, and he was young, and he was angry when he entered the league. So he's putting up numbers. He just wanted to hoop. So he was a guy that played, had really good years in Seattle, but unfortunately the Sonics didn't win. Bill Russell was one of his coaches there. Then Lenny Wilkins, I mean, he just wasn't able to play on that great team. Then he went to the Knicks, the post Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe Knicks that were still trying to be relevant. But, you know, they put together Bob McAdoo and aging Phil Jackson. They weren't right. So he goes to the Lakers. And then he finally has a chance to win. Then he gets addicted to drugs and basically gets kicked off the team during the NBA Finals. Now, if that had happened today, there would be so much publicity behind it,
right,
social media. But back then, it was just quietly, Spencer, just don't come back. And I think, I mean, he came back and played with the Bullets. He was able to put up some numbers there, had a good playoff series against the Celtics. So this was a man that, unfortunately for him, I think the timing just wasn't on his side. He got to New York, and you know he was playing a power forward when he should have been playing small forward. So he's up there playing against some of the big guys in the NBA. So he wasn't able to put up the crazy numbers that he did in Seattle. But if you look at his tape, it might be a little bit grainy, but if you look at his tape from his time in Seattle, those early years. I mean, he was a beast, and he could rebound and score. And I think that went underappreciated. And as you guys know, the NBA doesn't have those vintage tapes like the NFL where we can go watch Gale Sayers and fall in love with him again, or Jim Brown, or some of the greats of the 50s and 60s. They don't have that as much for those older players for us to appreciate in the NBA.
Hey, Gary, we're up against it. We got 1 minute. You have to tell about he had a chance to have 10% ownership in stock of Nike, and he gave it to his agent. Just tell people that story. He was on the ground floor of Nike. Basically, the company was about 10 years old. And what happened?
Well, this was the early 70s, okay? So we can't think – this is not Jordan Nike. You got to put it in perspective. Because now, you know, this ain't – they weren't Jordans and hadn't hit the streets yet, right? So Nike was basically a running shoe, and it was based in Oregon because the University of Oregon has such a great track program that Nikes were – they're jogging shoes. So he played close to Portland, obviously in Seattle. And back then, as you guys know, you guys are my age, it was Adidas and Converse and even ponies, right? Like, cats was wearing Converse. You had to get you a pair of Converse in the 70s. So Nike was a little-known company. They approached him. They said, hey, we want you to be a sponsor. We don't have a lot of money, but we can offer you. And I was told it was like 1% stock. Right, and or $100,000. So his agent says, "Well, you know, like an agent, well, how am I going to get paid from stock? Like that doesn't put money in my pocket." So the agent took the $100,000 buyout, took his percentage, and history, as you know, history made itself, and Spencer never got a piece of the. You know, he was a Nike guy. And obviously, as the 70s transpired, Nike signed Moses Malone and signed a lot of guys throughout Garvin, the late 70s. But and then obviously, a certain player from North Carolina signed it for.
Gary, we got to run. We're up against it, brother. But thanks a lot. The book is The Spencer Haywood Rule, Battles, Basketball, and the Making of an American Iconoclast. Mark Spears and Gary Washburn. Make sure you go check it out. At Amazon. Gary, thanks a lot, man. Good luck with the book. And enjoy the bubble.
Brothers, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yep. More Odd Couple coming your way, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Are you tired of staring at that dent? At Mako, getting collision repaired is as easy as book, quote, fix. Come to Mako for a collision repair backed by our best price guarantee. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. It works fast and you will not stink. It's pharmacists recommended. Odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu, maximum pain relief. It works fast, and you will not stink. Rob, as we were talking about Spencer Haywood with Gary Washburn, I was looking at this Knicks team from 1975. I think it was the 1975-76 season. Here's their roster. I mean, this is ridiculous. Walt Frazier, Hall of Famer. Earl the Pearl Monroe, Hall of Famer. Spencer Haywood, Hall of Famer. Bill Bradley's Hall of Famer. Phil Jackson was on that team. Butch Beard. They had some names on that team, man.
Yeah.
And they didn't win much. Now, Walt and Earl were a little old. They were 30 and 31.
They were long in the tooth.
Like, yeah, you got older, younger then, right? Like that's a Yogi Berra saying, but. All right, an hour left. Keep it locked.